Good morning. If you would open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This morning, we are going to look at a story from the Old Testament, a very familiar story that everyone in here has heard before. But in listening to this, I want you to do something you may have never done before. Okay? This is the story of David and Goliath. What I want all of us to do in here, and this is, sounds like it's going to be a request for some of the little kids, but I want everybody to try to do this. While I'm going through this, I want you to imagine, as I'm going to try to do with you, that we are soldiers in the army of Israel here, okay? So when we listen to this, I want us to take it to heart. I want us to put ourselves in this situation because the surroundings of this are important. I want us to try to get a little feel for where we are, okay? So we all imagine we're really big, strong soldiers here. We've got our sword and our shield, and we're ready for the fight against the Philistines, okay? So look here in chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shocho, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shocho and Azekah in Ephesdemum. And Saul, who is the king of the Israelites, and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So we're all standing on one side of a mountain. We're all on top of a mountain, and the Philistines who are on the other side of the mountain are who we're going to fight. Okay? Now the first question we need to ask is, why are we fighting the Philistines? Well, back in Judges, I'll read this to you. In Judges chapter 10, it tells us. It says, and the children of Israel did evil, that's us, we did evil against this in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and the gods of the Philistines. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? Yet ye have forsaken me and served their gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. You go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you. Why are we fighting the Philistines? Because our parents' parents, they all made some mistakes. They worshipped other gods and didn't worship the true and living God. And another reason that we're fighting the Philistines is because we just can't beat them. We fight them all the time, and every time we get a big victory, we beat them. Well, they didn't go away, and they're there, and they come back and get us again. So, let's look at verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Our enemy, Goliath, was huge. There are differing opinions on how big he was. Some people say he was 9 feet tall. Some people say he was over 11 feet tall, which means that if he were standing on the floor, he could touch the ceiling. But he was definitely bigger, stronger, and tougher than any of us. All us big, strong soldiers here, he's tougher than all of us. And he's described as a champion. Do you know the only way you get the title champion back then? It's because you're undefeated and no one has ever beat you. So look at verse 5 and 6. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. This is talking about his armor he's wearing. So Goliath, this huge soldier, his defenses appear impenetrable. There's no way through. We cannot find a weakness. And our weapons that we have here, our sword and spear, they're not strong enough to beat him. So look at verse 7. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. His weapons were something greater than we can even imagine. We see him down there, and these weapons are amazing. There's no way that we can protect ourselves from these weapons. Look at verse 8. And Goliath stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Goliath has challenged all of us, every one of us in here. And he said, choose a man. We can pick. We get to look around here and pick anybody we want to go down there and fight Goliath. And if that person can beat Goliath, we don't have to ever fight the Philistines again. They will then be our slaves. But if we lose, we will be slaves and will be in bondage forever. We'll belong to them. So verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Goliath defies all of us, or he's mocking us. He's saying, if you won't fight me, then you're scared. You're a coward. You won't come fight me. So verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they heard what Goliath said, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now think about our reaction in this. When we heard all that Goliath proclaimed out loud in front of everyone, we were scared, we were afraid, and we don't have such a champion in our army. Anybody in here feel like they want to go fight this 10-foot tall guy? Okay, look at verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. All right, David had been with Saul the king before the battle. Why was he there? Because King Saul was troubled by an evil spirit. And this is in the chapter before. And he could not find any relief from this spirit except David came and played a harp. And when David played that harp, it soothed the king and he was free of the evil spirit. But David left before the fight because David had to go feed his father's sheep. All right, look at verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Goliath the giant came out every morning and every evening for 40 days, daring someone to stand up and fight him. After this long, it was obvious. All of us in here, we aren't willing to go fight him. We're all scared of him. Look at verse 17. And Jesse said to David, his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. So David's father sent him to provide for his children. As these children were gathered and they were fighting with the Philistines. Okay, you look at verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. David rose up early and did as his father had commanded him to do. He left his sheep with a keeper and went to the battle. Verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they heard the man, they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. The armies are in formation. So we're all standing on one side, and the Philistines are on the other, and we're ready to fight. Out comes Goliath for the 41st day. We've been standing here 41 days, and he keeps saying the same thing. And the men around tell David that whomever defeats Goliath, the king will give him riches, he will give him a royal bride, and he will make his father's house free. Okay, look at verse 27 or 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. David's reaction to Goliath is very different than anyone else's. He doesn't care about Goliath's stature, about his armor, about his weapons. He just cares that what he says, who is this that should defy the armies of the living God? Why does David say this? He says it because he wasn't looking at Goliath. He's looking to his God. Now look at verse 28 and 29. And Eliab, David's eldest brother, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? We, the army here together, we've been looking for a champion for 41 days. Someone, David, has finally spoken up. David is the first man who seems willing to face Goliath. And his own brother, his kin, his family, speak against him and they're angry at him. And David responds to his brother by saying, What sin have I committed? And he says, Is there not a cause? David is saying here, I was sent by our father, by my father, and your anger should be toward this Philistine who defies God and not me. Now, we've gone through the buildup of this story, and we're getting ready to get to the part that everyone knows and the part that everyone tells. These stories in the Old Testament are wonderful stories. But if we read these stories, they're simply stories unless we know the application or an application for them. So what I want to do before we keep going is I want us to focus on this and make a couple simple changes to what I've said. I'm going to reread my notes for what I described in the first 29 verses. But I am going to keep us the same, okay? We're all still this army. We're all a group together. But Goliath and the other Philistines are going to be sin. And David is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, as I'm just going to read this of what's actually happened in the first 29 verses, just changing those. Why are we fighting sin? We're fighting it because our ancestors sinned against God. And we're fighting against sin because we can't beat sin, though we try and oftentimes think we can. Our enemy, sin, is huge. There are differing opinions on how big sin is. Some say sin is 9 feet, others say 11 feet tall. But what we do know is that sin is definitely bigger, stronger, and tougher than any of us. Sin is described as a champion because sin is undefeated. Sin has never been beaten before. Sin's defenses appear to be impenetrable. We can't get through them. We can't find a weakness. Our weapons aren't strong enough to beat sin. Sin's weapons were something greater than we could ever imagine. There is no way that we can protect ourselves from the attack of sin. Sin has challenged all of us. Sin has said, "Choose you a man and go fight against me." If that man can beat sin, we will never have to fight sin again. But if sin wins, then we will be slaves and in bondage forever. Sin has defied all of us. Sin has mocked us, saying, "If you will not fight, then you're a coward." When we heard all that sin has proclaimed against us, we are scared. We're afraid. We do not have such a champion in our army that can defeat sin. The Lord Jesus Christ had been with Saul before the battle. Saul had been troubled by an evil spirit, and he found no peace, except when the Lord Jesus Christ played the harp and soothed his soul. But the Lord Jesus Christ left before the fight because he had to feed his father's sheep. Sin came out every morning and every evening for 40 days, daring someone, one of us, to fight him. After this long, it's very obvious none of us are willing or able to fight sin. The Lord Jesus Christ's Father sent him to provide for his children, as his children were gathered and fighting with sin. The Lord Jesus Christ rose up early, did as his Father had commanded of him. He left his sheep with a keeper. The armies were in formation. The Lord Jesus Christ arrived as sin came out and mocked us for the 41st day. And the men around tell that whomever defeats sin, the king will give him riches, will give him a royal bride, and will make his father's house free. The Lord Jesus Christ's reaction to sin is very different than everyone else. He doesn't care about his stature, about the armor, or the weapons of sin. Just what the Lord Jesus Christ believes, and his response is, "Who is this that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The Lord Jesus Christ can say this because he's not looking at Goliath, but he's looking at God. We all have been looking for a champion for 41 days. Someone has finally spoken up. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first man who seems willing to face our sin. And his own brothers, his kin, speak against him and they're angry with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ responds and says, "What sin have I committed? Is there not a cause? I was sent by my Father, and your anger should be towards this sin as you defy God." Now, we can pick up here. And I could do this through the whole thing, but I wanted to let you in on this secret with me. It's a whole lot more fun to read this when you're looking at it from this angle. So as we go through the rest of this story, we will be talking about David and Goliath and the fight they have. But really what we're talking about here is the Lord Jesus Christ's victory over our sin. So look at verse 30 with me here. "And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him." David kept telling everyone, He kept asking questions and showing his willingness to fight. And the entire Old Testament tells us of one that will come, one that will fight for his children. Look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of this Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." The Lord tells us, "Let not your heart fail because of sin. I will take your place. I will fight on your behalf. I'll go to battle for all of you." Look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Saul, in a description of him that's given previously, he was chosen king of the people. And part of the way they chose kings back then is the Lord pushed him there and chose him, but the people loved him because of a couple reasons. He was very pretty, he was huge, and he was a great man of war. Saul is actually said to be a shoulder higher than any other Israelite. So Saul had to have been a huge man to say this. He was great in battle and brave, yet the biggest and strongest of all the Israelites, he was not about to go fight, and he was even the king. But the true king here was David. A couple chapters before this, unbeknownst to Saul, David had been anointed as the Lord's king. David was the one who had come to save his people. Okay, look at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." David's giving a reason why he can go fight. "And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David's occupation, his job, was a shepherd. To Saul the king, that is the last occupation he wanted to hear for the man who's going to fight for the army. He could have listed anything he wanted to do. He probably would have chosen a baker before he would have chosen a shepherd, a man who sits in a field and watches sheep. But David, what Saul didn't know was that David would do anything for his sheep. David would fight a lion and a bear for his sheep. And he would go fight because the Philistines defied God. David's reasoning to Saul here, saying that I've defeated a bear, I defeated a lion to protect my sheep, is not as much to tell Saul that I'm able to do this, but that I'm willing to do this. When that lion took one of his sheep, he had a lot of sheep. He easily could have just, "I tried," and the lion got away, and the sheep was already gone, and he could have said anything on it. But that's not how David was, and that's not how our Lord is. He goes after each one of his sheep, and nothing will ever happen to them. But the end of verse 36 is what David gives as a start to his reason. Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David doesn't want to go out there for glory. David doesn't want to go out there to be the most famous. David wants to go out there because this man defied God. And that's not going to be allowed to stand. Look in verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." David emphasized that the only reason he could have defeated the lion, he could have defeated the bear, and the only qualification he has to go out and fight Goliath was that the Lord has always delivered him, and the Lord was going to deliver him. In verse 38, at the end of 37, Saul says unto him, "David, go, and the Lord be with thee." Saul knows David can't beat Goliath. He doesn't tell David, "Well, go beat him." No, he says, "David, go, and the Lord be with thee." He knows that David can't beat him. Saul doesn't have any thought that he can beat him. And he's huge compared to David. David's not a warrior, none of that. But he says, the Lord be with thee. He's thinking, the Lord better be with you. Look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them. And David put them off him. Saul was trying to help David any way he could. We know that Saul's not giving David his own armor, because David's way too small for that. But he's just giving him armor. He's desperate to give him something to go fight Goliath. Possibly because Saul wants to be able to later and say, well, he beat him because he had my shield. Or he beat him because he had my helmet. We want so desperately to play our part in the victory over our sin. We, like Saul, are too scared and unable to go fight. And we won't do it. Yet, we think that our good deeds, our righteousness, can help the Lord save us. And even if we don't actually think we can help the Lord save us, if we can just let him wear something of ours or have something in his pocket, then we can say we were there or we played a role in it. But the Lord, like David here, will have nothing to do with our self-righteousness. David didn't need any of this stuff. David was going to fight for the Lord, and the Lord was going to fight for him. Okay, look at verse 40. And David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Goliath is saying the same message. When David showed up, Goliath was actually disrespected. Goliath not only thought David wasn't a worthy adversary, he thought to himself, are these people of God, so weak that they send this boy out here to fight me? He is totally offended. And as the Lord so often does, he uses a method that makes sure everyone knows that God gave the victory. All of us are still soldiers standing on one side of a mountain. All of their army is standing on their side of the mountain. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of us. David, this young boy, walks out there with a staff, a walking stick. No armor, no shield, no nothing. Goliath is on the other side of him with all his armor and his spear that they say is as tall as a building. And he's saying that someone's carrying his shield for him. He doesn't even have enough. He's got so much disrespect for David that someone else is going to carry his shield. I don't even want to have to carry some of my stuff. I promise there were plenty of people on our side that were looking down thinking, I'm better off going down there fighting than David. He's got no shot. I might be able to beat the guy. There are people on the other side in the Philistine army are standing up there. They're celebrating. They are high-fiving over there. They are going to win. Their 9, 10, 11-foot champion who's never been beaten is standing out there, and they got a little boy coming out who's never fought before. It's the most uneven match that's ever been had in history. What they don't realize is that it is the most uneven match in history, but it's the other way around. As the Lord Jesus Christ was being led to the cross to bear the sins of his people, so many people were standing around high-fiving, thinking, we've got him. There's nothing he can do about this. We are going to have the victory. We are going to kill him. All the while, it was the most uneven match in history. The Lord was there willing and able. He had chosen to walk out on that battlefield. He had chosen to take nothing with him. so that it would be obvious who was getting all the glory. Now look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Goliath, you have your weapons, you have your armor, you have everything you can get. No man on earth is more appropriately arrayed for the battle. No one else on earth is better choice to fight. But David says, "I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing apart from I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied," who thou hast offended. Verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David has such great confidence in his God that he knows that the battle is the Lord's. I love that phrase because it doesn't say the victory is the Lord's, though we know it is. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord has brought both armies to this place. The Lord has given Goliath his size, his strength, his armor, his sword, his shield. Everything he has is from the Lord. The Lord brought all the army of Israel out. The Lord made all of them too scared to fight. The Lord brought a young shepherd boy to come and be his champion, because the Lord is the one who will get the victory. But the battle is the Lord's. All right? Look at verse 48. "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted. So Goliath stood up and went to attack David. And David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." I love that when Goliath went to attack, David did the last reasonable thing. Goliath has a sword, a spear, and armor. David has a sling with small stones. What David should do is keep the distance. David is throwing something at him while Goliath has a sword in his hand. It says here, "David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine." David ran at Goliath. And then it says how David pulled out the stone, slung it, and it sunk into his forehead. Do you all remember standing on that hill, seeing Goliath for the first time, and him haunting us for 40-some days? What all I could see was an impenetrable armor. I saw no way that we could ever defeat him. The Lord took a small stone and sunk it in his head. You remember the undefensible weapons he had? That sword, that spear, all those things that there was no way we could avoid. The Lord made them useless. For the Lord, everything we have and everything we bring to him is as dust and filthy rags. If we come to judgment, if we come to a place to give account for ourselves, we must come empty-handed, open-armed, bowing down and praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 50. "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." After David had slung the stone and Goliath fell, we're all a long way away. We're watching this happen. And we see David do something and Goliath falls down. Okay? And he falls forward. We're not sure what's actually happened. What we know is that David did something and Goliath fell. But what it says is everyone was still standing there. They weren't sure the battle was over. David had to go take the Goliath's sword and he cut his head off. The moment he cut his head off, you know what everyone knew? It's over. David won. And what happened at that very moment? No one ran until David did that. And it says in verse 51 at the end, "And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." The Lord Jesus Christ bore the sins of his children on the cross. In his death, there were plenty of people around who thought they had won. And they probably celebrated for 3 days. But when the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave and ascended on high, everyone knew he was the victor. He had won the battle. He had conquered over the sins of his people, and he was back on high. And when that happened, all of those people who were celebrating, I promise their tune changed a bunch. They had that feeling inside you get when you've been bragging about something and you know you're right, and then all of a sudden you realize you're wrong and you don't know how to act with it. All right, look at verse 52. "And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines." You remember, this is us. This is the scared people, the cowards. We wouldn't fight. We were all standing there when they said, "Anyone want to come fight?" We were all like, We were just looking around like, I can't hear him very well. Is he saying something? Like, we're trying to act like we're not as weak as we are. The moment that David slew Goliath, what did we do? "And the men of Israel and Judah stood up, shouted, and ran right after our enemy." Any confidence we have, any confidence that we can have, comes from our Lord. We were smart standing on the side of that hill, not going down to fight Goliath. We knew we were overmatched. We knew we had no chance. So why would we go take that risk? But what we do know is when the Lord comes to battle and the Lord is on our side, we can stand tall, we can be confident, we can shout, and we can pursue our enemies because the Lord is fighting our battles. We continue, they fought them and pursued them until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaaraim, unto Gath and unto Ekron. Verse 53, "And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents." Verse 52 tells us that the Lord gives us our confidence. Verse 53 right there, it tells us that the Lord gives us the spoil. The Lord did the fighting. The Lord is the one who died on the cross. We're the ones who got the spoil. We got the victory. And then verse 54 says, "And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent." Verse 54 tells us that the Lord gives us the victory. When all of us went back home to our families after the battle, you know what we said? We all came back in and said, "We won." That's what we said. Did we play any role in it? Absolutely not. But because the Lord has the victory, we don't have to fight, but we still get the victory. We didn't have anything to do with our salvation. We didn't have anything to do with the Lord dying on the cross. None of our deeds, none of our actions have any part to play. Yet, thankfully, the Lord's children all can say so happily and have all their hope in the fact, "We won the battle." Okay, look at verse 55. And we got our last points here. "And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of his host, his general, 'Abner, whose son is this?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.' And the king said, 'Inquire thou whose son the stripling is.' And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand." This is a very interesting ending to this story. And I want to include it because this tells us a lot about ourselves and it's a warning to us. You remember me telling you in the chapter before this that Saul was grievously disturbed by an evil spirit. And he had no way of feeling any better or getting relief except for David played a harp for him. Now, I don't know how a harp works other than you have to be somewhat close to a harp to hear it. So David was in the presence of Saul. And here, the king is trying to say, who is the father of this boy? Who is this? And he calls him a stripling. Saul has just been delivered by someone that was in his house all along. Saul has known this person, but he didn't really ever give a thought to care. The one who brought him his greatest relief, he didn't have enough respect for him to know his name or who he was. And in this time period, not knowing who someone's family was very disrespectful. Until the Lord does something for us, we just don't really care who he is. The Lord has to put it in someone's heart to have any interest in the gospel. He has to show us who we are. The Lord showed Saul that he was a coward. He was the biggest of all the men. He was the king, and he still wouldn't even fight. The Lord showed him that his armor and what he tried to give David wasn't good enough to even go to the battle. And finally, Saul, at this moment, wants to know who it is who saved him. Look at verse 58. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite." Saul found out who David was. And we can say in this verse 58, and Saul said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And the Lord Jesus Christ answered and said, "I am the son of the living God." And he found out who he was. May the Lord teach us and show us and put it in our heart to know who we are and how much we need him. And that's the only way that we will ever find out who the Lord Jesus Christ is and how dependent we are upon him. Okay.